Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a harp. He puts the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man from where he sits enthroned. He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you.
Good morning. Well, I've come all the way from India to be here. It's a long trip. It takes about 24 hours. And then I've driven about 5 hours from Dallas. Now I'm finally here. And we've been in the United States with my family for nearly 2 months now. We've been driving around visiting our partners and friends. And with this trip, we'll come to about 7,000 miles on the road. Just visiting friends, supporters, partners who want to join us and have joined us in the work of the gospel in India and in Asia. And it's so exciting to talk to people about what God is doing. And it's wonderful because that's a lot of what worship is. When we go through this psalm, we're seeing what the psalmist is talking about, what God has done. And when we go and visit our friends, even though it means miles and miles of driving, it's wonderful because we get to share what God has done. The Asian Christian Academy has been in existence for about 40 years. And in that time, the Lord has used this ministry to grow from a seminary to now 10 different ministries. We have an evangelical theological seminary. We have a Bible college. We have a pastoral training program. We have church planting work. We also serve the community through a K-12 school with 3,100 kids. We have a center for autism. We have a hospital. And we have a media ministry. And now we're launching into starting a liberal arts and science college, all of which has been started by the Lord and brought to fruition by God. And it happens because of the partnership in the gospel that we have with believers from here and with believers in India. And this is how the gospel ministry moves. It moves with the body of Christ coming together and working together. And so I'm excited to come here to not only share from God's word and talk to you about worship, but to worship with you because of our common cause in the gospel, our common confession that Jesus is our Christ. He is Lord. He is the Son of God. He is my Lord. He is your Lord. And together we are here to serve him. We are to worship him. And we are to advance his kingdom by preaching the gospel. This gospel is what unites us. And this gospel is really what gives us this opportunity to come in worship. The ability to worship only happens because we have been born again. We cannot worship God unless we have been reconciled with him through Christ. And so when the psalmist here calls us and talks about worship, he does so through the poetry and the beauty of the psalm. You know, the Bible is not a list of do's and don'ts, a list of propositions. It's narrative, it's poetry, and it's letters, all in the context of real life, real history. And the Psalms are just powerful ways for us to experience emotionally who God is. God is at the center of every psalm. And it is about us encountering God in these psalms, in worship. And we cannot worship unless we have been brought here by him. As we go through this psalm, I'd like us to go through it section by section. And as we go through it, our objective is to immerse ourselves, to feel it, to experience the beauty of worship. What we've been doing, you know, has been part of our worship. But worship is a gift. We're all worshipers. John Piper says, mission exists because worship doesn't. And he's right because he's talking about true worship. But in reality, all of us are worshipers. Whether we're worshipers of the true God or worshipers of something else. In the land of India, we have the religion of Hinduism with nearly 300 million gods, more gods than the United States, the number of people. We have one god for every four people. And you can add more gods. There's no limit to the number of gods. But we're all worshipers. We're all worshiping something. We have even a show called American Idol, because they know what people want. They want something to idolize, to worship. In fact, American Idol became so popular, we have Indian Idol. What's another idol, right? It's just one more. But you see, the concept has gone all over the world because, again, it's simply playing off of a very human desire to worship. And God has created us that way. We desire worship, we desire to have relationship, we desire to be immersed in something powerful. But the problem with a lot of our worship is they are directed to false gods, and none of these gods are going to fulfill the desire that we were created for. That's why the gospel is so important. It is a call for us to bring worshipers from around the world to worship the true God, to fulfill what we have been made for, to experience the source of everything good, everything wonderful that we have seen in this world. And though we are surrounded by the curse of sin and the pain of sin and the wretchedness of sin, we require the power of faith and the open eyes of the gospel to see the beauty of God in everything. And that's what the psalmist here wants us to do. He starts off in verses 1 to 3. Exult in Yahweh, O you righteous, for praise is fitting for the upright. Give thanks to Yahweh with the lyre, with a harp of 10 strings to play to him. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with jubilant shout. Here the psalmist is telling us to worship in just so many different ways. To celebrate, to give thanks, to sing, to enjoy the creativity of music and the beauty of God. He says, exult in Yahweh, O you righteous. He's telling you righteous people, upright people, this is what we do. Well, then we'll say, I don't know if I'm all that righteous. If you have been born again, you have been made righteous. You have been made upright. That's the gift of the gospel. It makes you righteous. It brings you to a relationship. You are now able to be a worshiper. This is the gift we want to preach to the world, that they may experience this. This is what we're trying to preach to the people in India. They are desiring worshipers. They want to be. It's one of the most spiritual places in the world in the sense that they are desiring to worship. It's a land of religions, temples, and idols. They have been searching for God for thousands of years. But we have found it. Not because we discovered it, but because it's been revealed to us. It's been given to us through the written word of God. We give thanks to God. because of what God has done for us through the gospel and what he has done for us in our lives, we sing about this. We create new songs because of what God has done. And this song is just a source of great joy. This creativity that God has given us is a reflection of the Creator himself. And so when we worship, we are celebrating. We are coming here to celebrate and praise. We are here to give thanks for the gospel, what God has done for us. And we're to be immersed in the beauty of God. Because God is beautiful. Everything that is beautiful in the world derives from a beautiful God. And he's telling us, come to me to immerse yourself and experience this wonderful beauty. That's what the psalmist is saying. Immerse yourself, sing this, experience this. The Psalms are so wonderful because it's taking us into an emotional journey, telling us to experience the beauty of God. Everything that we know that is beautiful, ourselves, comes from a God who is beautiful. And so worship is an experience, an opening of the door to come in relationship, because we've been created to experience this. And that's what the psalmist tells us, to do this. And then he goes into reasons why we should worship. He goes into verses 4 and 5. For the word of Yahweh is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loyal love of Yahweh. He goes on by saying the word of Yahweh, the word of God, is upright, and his work is done in faithfulness. We worship the God because he has revealed himself. We have the truth of God's word. He's also a God who loves righteousness and justice. And the gospel is an evidence of that. He loves justice. That's why he cannot leave sin unanswered. But he loves us to send his only son to take that justice, the justice that was due to us, and to give us his righteousness. This is the gift of the gospel. And this is why we, as his followers, desire to see righteousness and justice in this world. We want to stand up for those who are facing injustice. The world is full of wickedness and injustice. And one of the great challenges of ministry in India is we are surrounded by wickedness and injustice. Everywhere we go, corruption is around us. We want to serve the poor. We want to educate. We want to give healing to the sick. But we're surrounded by evil men who want to only care for themselves. They want to be bribed at every turn for a license. And they block us from caring for the great needs, the physical and spiritual needs of the people, because they care for themselves. And there's injustice everywhere. We're planning to start this college, and I was told, in order to start a college, you're going to have to pay a huge bribe. And we've started our school. People wanted bribes. We got through without it. And we're going to get this also. Because corrupt men only want to care for themselves. They say, you're not here for really helping people. You're trying to make money. They don't believe us because they're surrounded by wickedness. They don't understand righteousness because they don't know God. They have not experienced the gospel. They don't understand what justice is because they have not experienced the gospel. So they don't understand why we would want to do these things genuinely. Why are you doing this? Obviously, you've got to be lying. You've got to be here for making money. So the assumption is that we are liars from the beginning. We have to prove ourselves right. But that's the world we live in. And you are very fortunate to live in a country where that's not the norm. But let me tell you, that's actually the norm for the rest of the world. That's the norm for the rest of the world. Injustice and wickedness. But we have a God who is against this. And we are able to come here only because we are righteous. And we have received this righteousness only by grace of the gospel. That's the gift of the gospel. We get to be worshipers. And we get to be worshipers of a God who is a God of justice, a God of righteousness, and a God of loyal love. This loyal love is around the world, the hesed love. It's a grace. It's a grace that sustains this whole world. The world doesn't know it. The world doesn't know how bad it could get. They're always looking and wondering, where is God? If God was here, why are all these bad things happening? But the Word of God says, you wait and see what happens when God really lets things go. We have not yet seen how bad things are going to get. When God unleashes his wrath upon the wickedness of the world, and we are pleading with the world, be saved. Come to Christ. Be delivered from your sin, for the wrath of God is coming. But his loyal love is now extended. He's giving time. He's giving us time to go to the nations with this gospel. His grace is there. And we're worshiping a God with such loyal love, with such righteousness and justice. And it's so wonderful because we can hang our lives in the hands of this God. So that's what the psalmist says. This is why we celebrate. This is why we praise. This is why we give thanksgiving. Because we worship a righteous and faithful God. He keeps his word. He keeps his word. That's why the word of Yahweh, the word of God, is so important. It's our bedrock for our worship, for our lives. But with that, we also immerse ourselves in the greatness and the beauty of God. We bask in this beauty of the Creator. Verses 6 to 9, by the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathered the waters of the sea like a heap. He put the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear Yahweh. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he himself spoke, and it came to pass. He himself commanded, and it stood firm. The psalmist here is trying to give us a picture of the power of God. Now, we're all fascinated with power, and that's good. Because that's what we're here to worship, the power and the immensity. We're attracted to that power. But the problem is we want a power, but we don't want God. We want to be able to be God, but we don't want God. That was a temptation for Eve and Adam when they were in the garden. They could get the power of God without God. God is saying, you're going to get the power, but you're going to get me. I am the power. And I'm going to share that with you. And here the psalmist gives a wonderful picture of the power of God. He talks about how God creates the world just like breathing. The world that we look around, the immensity of the galaxies and the immensity of this world, to create that, it's just nothing like breathing for God. That's the picture he wants you to get. Organizing the oceans and the seas, it's just like putting cookies in a cookie jar. It's just putting something in a heap. It's not a big deal. He's trying to say, that's our God. That's our God. Be in awe of this God. Now, we're always in awe of people who are famous and we get excited. And that's nice, that's understandable, but we need to think, step back and understand where God is in the picture compared to the fame of the world. And I was watching a little clip where Jimmy Fallon and Paul McCartney do this bit where people are visiting 30 Rock, and they have this elevators open with people coming in, coming for a tour. And when they open, they see John McCartney and Jimmy Fallon, and they kind of go crazy, like, oh my goodness, one of the Beatles is here, and Jimmy Fallon. And they're so excited. And one of the ladies said, you know, I wanted to marry Paul McCartney, and at least I got to see him, so that's the closest I could get to my dream. And we're fascinated. We've got Instagram and people following, and we've got a cult following. And again, all of this stems from our desires to be worshipers. But we've got a God who's just so powerful. It's just hard to imagine. The beauty of the Psalms is the use of just poetic language to just get us to feel it. You're not going to grasp it. but he wants you to feel it. To stand in awe and to worship. And this is the calling of the gospel. He says, let all the inhabitants of the world stand. Let's go to everyone and bring everyone to worship this God. That's what the cause of our mission is. That's what the cause of the gospel is, to bring in these worshipers. Because they have to see it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You say, bring your friends. I want them to see this. But the only thing is, you can't open their eyes. Only the Spirit of God, through the gospel, can do that. You want them to see it. You want them to experience it. But the psalmist here is also asking us to experience it. This is something that's there for us to experience every day. And as we gather as a body, when we sing, when we just immerse ourselves in that beauty, what a gift. A gift where we can leave and set aside every one of all of our burdens, because we know a God who is powerful. So powerful. He goes on to talk about this power in the way he controls the world. Verses 10 to 12. Yahweh brings to nothing the plan of nations. He frustrates the intents of people. The plan of Yahweh stands firm forever. The intents of his heart from one generation to the next. Blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh, the people he has chosen for his inheritance. The nations have all kinds of plans, but God is in control. We know the story of the Bible, and we know how this ends. We are going to win. And that's what we're telling the world. And the world is trying to pursue power and to put down the gospel at every point because they're being instruments of Satan. They don't know it. They don't know it. They don't understand how they're being used by Satan. But they are blind. And only the gospel can open their eyes. In India right now, we're living in one of the most difficult times for Christians. India's ranked number 10 on Open Doors ranking for places where it's most difficult to be Christians. Syria is number 11, and it's mostly because they've all left the place. But it's so hard in India now that we've been praying, Lord, remove this government who has been making our lives so difficult. And so the elections were happening last month. We prayed, Lord, remove this government. But that they came back. They won the election. So then we wonder, well, what's the Lord's plan? Is the Lord not in control? Scripture says that he is in control. He's the one who puts them there. But he has a plan. While the past 5 years have been the most difficult for Christians, it's been one of the best for Christianity. The church has grown in depth and breadth. And we see the power of the gospel breaking through the dominions of darkness, all the more while we're facing opposition. Because we are growing, therefore Satan is attacking us even more. And the same thing is even happening for ACA. Our best 5 years have been the past 5 years. So we're kind of stuck like, well, do we want this? No, persecution isn't evil. It comes from evil. It is a tormenting of God's people. And God will bring about justice. But in the midst of that, we are seeing the power and the mighty hand of God. And God's plan will not be thwarted. No one can stop the church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. This is the power of the gospel. And this is where the glory of God is going to shine even brighter, that even though we're going to face even maybe greater opposition, we're going to see greater glory from God. Because no one can stop God. He is the creator. He will frustrate the intentions of people. The plan of God will stand firm forever. No one can stop him, and no one can stop us if God is with us. We have to ask our question, are we walking with God? Are we walking with him? The plan of Yahweh stands forever. And therefore, blessed is the nation whose God is Yahweh. We are pleading with the nations of the world. Come to Christ. Come to Jesus. Be saved. Because the king is coming. And he is going to establish his kingdom. And when he comes, he is going to come with a sword. He is going to come to judge the earth. And we are pleading with the world, come to Christ. India has 2,300 of the 6,700 unreached peoples of the world. We have a big task ahead of us, but we have a greater God behind us. A God who is going to get this job done, and we are going to be used by him, and we don't know how it's going to happen, but it is going to happen. And we're proclaiming to the nations because we're waiting for the day when we're going to see all of these nations, as Revelation talks about, where all the nations are gathered under every tribe, every tongue, and all of them are going to be worshiping the king. That's what we're praying. That's what we're working for. That's part of our mission. That's why we are in partnership together. We're wanting to see all of the nations come to him. This is our mission. This is your mission. This is what we are doing together. And no one can stop it. That is the power of the gospel. That is the power of our God. Verses 13 to 15, he talks more about his power over these nations. From heaven, Yahweh looks. He sees the children of humankind. From his dwelling place, he gazes at all of the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions altogether their heart, he who understands all their works. There is nothing that is happening that is outside the control of God. When he gives them the election to this Hindu party who is going to want to persecute us even more, it's not by accident. What God is saying that I am going to do something even greater by them coming. I am going to advance my kingdom even faster, even more powerfully. And we are going to see it. If the past 5 years were powerful, wait till the next 5 years. And we go with that confidence. We know God is in control. He looks down. It's like from heaven. Again, that's the picture he's giving of how he's able to see everything. There is nothing that is outside his control, his vision. And he's the one who is going to get it done. The beauty of the ministry is this. I've defined it as this. It's an opportunity to see the glory of God as we walk in obedience. Meaning, the end result of what happens is an act of God. All these ministries that we've talked about have happened with the seed of just starting one seminary to now leading to 10 different ministries. This is all the act of God. But it happens because people are walking in obedience. They're doing things faithfully. And they're waiting to see the glory of God as he expands and explodes in the preaching of the gospel and seeing how lives are changed. This is the beauty and the wonderfulness of following the Lord and walking with the Lord and, more importantly, worshiping this God. This is the God we worship. This is the God we've been called to experience. You know, it says in verse 16 to 19, the king is not saved by the greatness of an army. The warrior is not delivered by the greatness of strength. The horse is a false hope for victory, nor can it save by the greatness of its power. We can be fascinated with all kinds of power, military power, great men. Power is something which men and women show to display how great they are. In India, power is obviously seen by those who rule. And those who are in power are so powerful that people come down and worship them. They touch their feet because they're in the presence of powerful men. And they're seeing power. They want power. You know, Paul says, behind every idol, there's a demon. And the people in India are worshiping idols because they are under this demonic power. They are seeing this demonic power. They are afraid of this demonic power, and they don't have any power against it. They see this demonic power, and they are under its spell. But the power of the gospel is to dispel this demonic power. And power is there throughout the world, and everyone is trying to get it. But God says, I'm going to give it. This is the gospel power, the power of the resurrection, the power of new life. We get to live with that power. We get to walk in that power. But it's not a power the world can understand and see, because it's a power against death. Death no longer has its sting. It's a power which no army in the world can ever give. The power against death and giving eternal life. Verses 18 and 19, behold, the eye of Yahweh is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loyal love to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. This gospel brings us to a unique relationship. To now where he talks about this loyal love for the whole world, but now there is a loyal love that is for those who are his. Those who are his. And Yahweh and the Lord's eyes and his power is with us. But we sometimes walk in fear and not in faith. And God is saying, walk in this power. I am with you. I will be there to deliver you. As we walk out into the world, we're faced with all kinds of challenges, fears. God is saying, I am there. I am there. You may not feel it, but you have to see me. You need faith to see me there, to see me in action. You can't see me in fear. You have to see me in faith. That's what the gospel gives us. A peace that surpasses all understanding. And when he gives us this power, he's giving us a power that we can only see ourselves, to deliver us from death, from hardship. Now, even as we go through hardship, it's only for a short time, because there is an eternal weight of glory that is going to come. And when we come here as worshipers, we're here to celebrate all of this, all of this. When we go to India, people are hungry, but they don't know where to find food. And I'm not talking about physical food. They are hungry spiritually. They are seeking for something that is going to deliver them. And when we go with them with the gospel, we are faced with all kinds of obstacles. But it is for our own faith, our own challenge, that we go through all of this. The Lord is there with us. And so he is saying, you have to declare your allegiance to me. You have to focus on the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. The challenge for us is to keep our eyes focused on the prize. Because we can get distracted by all kinds of different problems, but we know we're going to win. And if we're going to win, then we cannot move away from our vision of the cross before us. And we need to walk in that faith every day. And that's why he ends it by talking about our hope. This is what happens. When we come together as a body, we are now worshiping with hope. We're only seeing dimly. Paul says we see dimly now. When we worship, we're worshiping with only a spark of that divine. But one day we're going to see face to face, where our worship is going to be at a whole different level. But in one sense, we don't have to wait for that day to worship. Worship brings us into that relationship now. And we get to experience that and see that. This is the gift of coming together as a body to worship. But it's also done so with such hope. Such hope. We look forward to the future. Even though we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, we know our King is going to return. And he is going to restore, and he is going to finish all what he has promised. And when we come with worship, we come with hope. And that's why he concludes. He talks about the loyal love. That loyal love that he loves us as a father loves a child. And we get to experience that. This is the beauty of worship, and we come as worshipers together. When I've come here, I came here as a worshiper. I can only come here as a worshiper because I have been saved, like you, through the gospel. But you cannot be a worshiper of God if you have not been born again. If you do not know Christ, if you have not experienced a new birth, if you have not been saved from your sins, and if you have not received the righteousness of God, then there is no worship that you can do. Worship is the gift for those who have been born again. And we worship with this hope that one day he is going to return as our king and restore everything to an even greater level than what it was even created to. Let's pray. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to here to be your worshipers. We thank you for Jesus, who brings us into the family of God. And Lord, we pray that we can leave aside all of our burdens to worship you, to praise your great name. You are our God, and there is no one like you. We praise you in Jesus' name.